Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Mackenzie Hughes in about a half an hour coming off a very quality U.S. Open. It didn't go his way on Sunday, but he was in the final group. He's tied for the lead after 54 holes, and he flies across the country to the Travelers this week. He'll be playing
there. Travelers are getting a lot of good players to go cross country after a major. Usually they're like, not a chance.
No kidding.
They must love that venue or something. Is it the sponsors?
I think so, yeah, because it's like DJ's there. He won it, right? Last year, I believe he won it. He's won it in the past. I want to say Koepka's there.
Yeah, he is.
You know, like, and Koepka's battling injuries and everything. These guys going coast to coast, that it's pretty significant. And I think we're getting into FedEx Cup territory, too, where you got to rack up some points and you want to stay in the hunt. But Hughes will be there, so we'll catch up with him later in the hour. Confirm or deny coming up in about 5 minutes. Big night potentially for the Raptors tonight. It is the NBA draft lottery, and we have not done this in this town in a long, long time where you're even in it, right? The Raptors haven't been in it in years.
That could perk me up sporting wise. I'm just kind of on a I'm on a downer. It's like the Leafs go out, the Jays have no pitching, the Raps had a miserable season. They played in Florida. I'm just on a downer, man. I could use that to perk me up sporting wise. Your play today on the golf course in real life wise, that perked me up. And I got to tell you, I saw something, Hazy B. I got to tell you this. Because at Upper Unionville, when you folded the sod over the wedges from 80 yards and you were having a real tough time, I hit mine long on 14, so I was behind the green, and I saw you hit, and it was like out of a movie. I was looking for the golf ball to scull over my head. And this thing dropped like a butter drop in one hop and stop. And Donnie looked at me and he goes, wow, that's a 10 handicap right there with tour sauce on that.
That thing was a spectacular
shot. Dude, that's the best 80-yard shot you've ever hit.
Close to it, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And then I missed the putt. It was a three-footer. It was a bender, though, man. That thing was on ice.
Dude, you kind of were bugging me on that, too. You were like, take a look, and I would give you the read, and then you would crush it. Like, I was explaining the reads in, like, a normal – they were so fast. They were like die reads.
Yeah, they were –
But
they
you
were,
only have one
I have one
attempt.
Pace. Yeah, it's back
and that's
of the cup.
Crush it in the back
past.
Of the cup like Tiger in his prime or nothing.
Yeah, more or less. It's Tiger in his prime or Ernie Els at the Masters first hole. It's one or the other. You know, it's there's two options. And, yeah, that was a great wedge. That was after I had chunked a 5-iron on the approach, which, you know, I appreciate that you left that detail out. But still, that's the number two rated hole in the course, and I had a three-footer for par. I missed it.
Yes, sir.
It happens. You hear this Tom Brady audio that's making the rounds?
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to figure out who he's talking about.
Who do you think he is?
Well, let's play it, all right? So,
right.
As we know, Brady was doing the tours, and the belief was, you know, he was looking at Tampa, he was looking at maybe Vegas, he was maybe looking at Chicago, maybe Denver. You know, there were a couple of different spots where he was willing to listen, and maybe San Francisco is hometown, or he's a Northern California guy anyway. And by the end, it was basically Tampa or bust, you know, more or less, or it felt that way.
Right.
And he's got something coming up on HBO, and this is the teaser, and it's a pretty good teaser, to be fair to them. I mean, this is going to create a lot of buzz. It already is. This is what he had to say about one team that dropped out at the end and his reaction to that.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that motherfucker.
So
it's got to be Vegas or Chicago, dude. It's got to be.
You think so?
That it could be Garoppolo, though. Like, it could be Jimmy G out in San Fran. I wouldn't put anything past Garoppolo. I think it's either Trubisky in Chicago.
Yeah, it's the three-pack. It's Vegas, Chicago, and San Fran. It's one of those three teams where he would say something like that.
I would think so. Maybe Drew Locke in Denver, maybe. But I think it's Derek Carr in Vegas, Garoppolo in San Fran, or Trubisky in Chicago.
No question.
Trubisky would make sense because people
all
hated
three of them
his
would
gut.
Make sense. If you're Tom Brady, you're like, let me get this straight.
You can say that about everyone except two or three guys in the league.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Absolutely.
Let me get this straight. You're sticking with that guy.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. Like,
but
I
want to
know
the answer, don't you? Like, I guarantee you he's not going to name the team. The tease is you got to watch to see that he won't name the team. But everyone in the NFL is like, who is he talking about? And the guy knows who he's talking about. That's the best part, right? Like, if you're Trubisky and you're the backup in Buffalo now, you're like, he was talking about me, and guess what? He was right. What the hell were they thinking keeping me over Tom Brady? You know, or if you're Garoppolo. Like, Garoppolo, you're done, man. Like, I guess you're going to stick around this year, but Trey Lance is taking over.
What a fall from grace for Garoppolo. Yeah. The guy leads them to the Super Bowl. Then as soon as the Super Bowl is over, this guy's the scum of the earth.
Immediately.
The scum of the earth. He took him to the Super Bowl, and then it was like, this guy's done. Ate his guts.
Well, he couldn't close in the fourth quarter.
No,
as if that was only his fault, right? Like, the defense stopped playing, and Mahomes started chugging, and Shanahan couldn't figure out. There was that one play. It was a play action play, third and long, and I want to say it was Deebo Samuel down the middle, and he overshot him by like 15 yards. And if you find the tape, you can see it. And I think the camera pans to Shanahan, and he's ready to have a meltdown on the sideline. Like, he can't believe Garoppolo missed that dime, and that would have secured the Super Bowl more than likely. But you're right. I mean, Jimmy G gets traded there. Looks like $1 million, getting paid millions and millions of dollars. They go to the Super Bowl, and now it's like, we don't even care for you anymore. Completely irrelevant. Yeah. And, you know, Trubisky, the same thing. Derek Carr is a bit of a different story in Vegas. But I think it would be Trubisky or Garoppolo, one of those two. And Brady's right. How do you stick with those two over Brady? How do you possibly do that? And now that you look back on it in retrospect, it's even worse because both guys are either out, in Trubisky's case, or going to be out soon if you're Garoppolo with the Niners.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to fire up a little confirm or deny on a Tuesday afternoon?
Let's do it.
Let's fire it up.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is, in fact, a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
What a question from Duffy. Do you regret the no trades on those guys?
Yeah, that one.
A tough question.
What kind of answer are you going to get, really, outside of the obvious, which is yes? Like, clearly you do. But if you announce that, you're basically admitting you're a buffoon and you made a horrible decision multiple times.
Correct.
Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. All right, we know the way this works. A statement will be made. We go around the table, confirm or deny that it will in fact be true. Confirm or deny, after an 8-0 beatdown, the Islanders are finished and will not win Game 6.
100% confirm. If it was 4-1, you're like, okay, these guys are going to respond. But that's the ultimate flex, where sometimes that type of flex, Hazy, it breaks backs.
I like it.
I'm going to deny it. I just think that the Islanders are they're a team that they're not a sexy team, and people sleep on them. I think they'll respond. I think you're going to see better goaltending. You know, even Ray was talking about Jean-Gabriel Pageau, like guys that are so trusted were making, like, critical errors last night. Like, I think that they'll have a big game and a big response. Is it enough, though? That's the question.
Well,
is it enough to beat that team?
That's where I would say I'm going to confirm this, and it has nothing to do with the Islanders, or a little
just
bit to do with the Islanders.
Tampa, basically.
I think what Tampa did last night was let the rest of the world know, we're clicking. Like, it's time to click. We've been messing around and toying a little bit, giving you a game here or there. I wouldn't be shocked if they ran off 5 wins in a row for a cup. I wouldn't at all. I really would not be shocked at all if they won five in a row. They
we
didn't
just
lose
talked
again.
Earlier about all the elements they have, the elite skill, the best goaltender in the world, one of the best – the coach. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, they get about how
Oh,
the nostrils
God.
Are just
right. flaring out. You could fit toonies up their noses right now.
Yeah, there's some sniffage because the cup is, you know, it's within reach at this mm-hmm. point. All right, confirm it tonight. George Springer can still salvage the season and make it a memorable one.
Deny. That's a deny because they're not going anywhere. So he's going to come back and probably make a splash if he can stay healthy again this time. And it's not going to be a memorable first season regardless of what he does. What's he going to do, outshine Vladdy now? It's all about Vladdy coming down the stretch for a team that's probably going to miss. So he's just got to be a guy that's got to get himself ready to play next year, which is awfully disappointing considering the contract he signed.
Yeah, I'm going to deny. I just think it's tough to get the engine going. What worries me is that he's not 100%. Like, you come back.
If he's not Noodles, they're flat-out nuts for putting him in the lineup
for that
baseball
team. I know, but I just...
I'm sorry.
44 games, though. Like, it's a quad injury.
Yeah, but what the hell's he trying to prove if he's not... I told you my golden rule. Once you think you're 100%, you're taking 10 days after that. Especially with what he's been through. What are they trying to prove putting him in the lineup now? It does not make sense. Unless he's totally good to go.
I think he's... Yeah, you're right. I think he's 100%. I just worry about re-injuring, and it could be one of those seasons where he's like, yeah, just... You know, need to take another little break or tweak something. I hope
right.
that's not the case, but it just, they're far enough in now that he's missed, what, half a season?
Yeah, well, they've played 70 games. They're more than that. They're past the third of the season anyway. I mean, they're not quite at the halfway mark, but they'll be there in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and they're a 500 club. So, I'm actually going to confirm it, but it's with a really significant caveat. That the team returns to Toronto and is here for September and they play well and he has a big September in front of fans and people welcome him, you know, to town and to the team. And from a personal standpoint, I think he can salvage something. I don't think the team is going to have enough. And quite frankly, it's not his position that they really need to be concerned with. It's a luxury that he's coming back, right? Like, it's the arms. That is what is going to make or break the rest of the year and would have made or broke the first 70 games. They don't have enough. And I'm just reading Keegan Matheson tweeting out that Nate Pearson has been placed on the 7-day IL in the minors in AAA. So he's dealing with something again, which is pretty concerning considering his injury history to begin with. But I think if the team comes home for September and he plays in front of the crowd and he plays well, that's probably worth something in terms of memories for Springer. Confirm or deny, the Raptors winning the draft lottery tonight would be a bigger win for the franchise than re-signing Masai Ujiri.
Are you high, dude? Who wrote that? Fergie himself?
Answer the question.
No, it's deny. Deny. Masai, like a bit, winning the draft
lottery. When did Masai jack a shot for this team? When does Masai gear up and go out and play?
And
it's 100% confirm. It's not even close.
I think he's got one foot out the door anyways.
He doesn't play.
Yeah.
He doesn't play. You get the
first overall
pick.
Who pulled the trigger on DeMar going out of town and winning the championship?
Masai Ujiri. And then who had to play? Kawhi had to go out there and do it.
Oh, really? That's the most ridiculous statement I think I've ever heard. You still got to make the transaction happen. Nobody would come here and play, and he pulled the trigger because he knew he could make it happen in the trade. And you were praising him for all this time.
The greatest deal in the history of the city. The greatest deal in the history of the city. Better than the Alomar Carter deal.
Who the hell are they going to draft first overall? Shaquille O'Neal available?
Cade Cunningham, he'll actually
play. You have
play.
Never said that guy's name for the whole year.
He will actually play. It doesn't matter how great an executive is.
You've
a
never
player
said that
always
guy's
is
name.
More important. Did you when you went to the Cup Final, were you sitting there saying, thank God for Jim Rutherford, man? Or were you saying the guys in the room got us to a Cup Final?
Yeah, thank
Who
God
got
for
you to
Jim
a Cup
Rutherford.
Final?
He traded for Brett Hedekin, Kevin Adams, Kevin Weeks.
Who got you to the Cup Final, the players
Me.
Or Rutherford?
Me.
Exactly.
But all I know one thing. I never heard of Rick Cunningham, and you'd never say
Cade
his name.
Cunningham. He's a
that's
stud.
A crock of garbage.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
This is the first time you said his name. This is not an organizational game
If they win
changer.
Tonight, I'll be saying it a lot tomorrow. Don't you worry about that.
I just
You're a fraud.
Like I feel putting, like Messiah's
you're a fraud,
got one.
Like your driver. I haven't mentioned that yet either. He topped
really?
Two of the first three balls off the tee. Be honest.
Oh, no.
The first and the third tee were two of the worst drives you've ever hit in your life.
My level of concern was through the roof when the second one happened.
The third into the soup on three was concerning for your
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was.
Let Noodles answer the question.
Go ahead, Noodles.
Well, I think I've said this all along, so I have to be consistent with my narrative. I think Masai's out of here. If he hasn't signed by now, what the hell's he waiting for? So I think it's more important to get the number one pick.
Thank you,
because
Noodles.
I think that is more like the team situation where Masai,
he plays.
I understand.
He
but
plays.
I understand. Masai
fake
built the
segment.
Winner.
Fake argument segment.
It's
I didn't
not a fake argument.
How about both? That. It'd be great if you get both.
It would be
what
nice if Masai signs
be.
And they get the
Just
first.
Just call this a fake argument because we're not.
No,
even
it's 100% legit though. Like it's
Rick Cunningham, welcome to the Raptors, Rick.
Yeah. And listen, if he's on this team, he is going to have a bigger impact on wins and losses.
Yeah, like Bargnani did.
But exactly. They owe us. The NBA owes the Raptor fan base a win tonight because when they won it in 06, Bargnani was sitting there waiting for
The
him.
Only thing Bargnani did in Toronto is he went to Soto every night and he stuffed his face with pasta.
Yeah.
That's it.
I saw him at Easy in the Fifth every Thursday night. I'm like, hey, there he is. Shot
this
two
guy,
for 19 tonight, but make sure you're in the back room.
So this guy enjoyed himself. Everything about basketball, but in Toronto, right?
Basketball was irrelevant, but man, could Bargnani sell? What was the pasta he'd sell all the time?
Rotoli.
I can't remember what it was called, but he did.
He was
pasta.
In the Rotoli pasta commercial.
Okay, was it Rotoli? I've never heard of that before.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe he didn't do that great of a job as the spokesman. If it doesn't really stick.
Maybe your boy Rick Cunningham could make hamburger patties
that.
Or something.
Cade Cunningham. I'll buy a jersey, a Cunningham
jersey. Where
does
he play? Let me ask you this. Where does he play?
He's in Oak State.
Oak State.
He's
okay,
coming
what's
up
his best
hot.
Attribute? What's his best?
He's a big guard. He's
big shooter.
He's a stud.
Big smile.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
That's when I know you're full of
he's
it because you don't even
stud.
Know
it
what
was
the hell
Primo
he is.
Pasta. What the hell is Rotoli pasta?
Yeah, it's Rotoli.
If you have never heard of Rotoli pasta, you're not Italian.
Oh,
you don't know about
I'm not
pasta.
Italian.
I'm not Italian.
What are you?
Neither are you.
Since when are you?
You don't know Rotoli.
Rotoli pasta. Does that exist? I've never heard of it before.
I guarantee
rigatoni,
you, I'll ask
maybe.
Carlo right now, Rotoli is a good pasta.
I think it's rigatoni, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're thinking of something different. I have never – you've never heard of Kate Cunningham, and I've never heard of Rotoli pasta. It was Primo pasta. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think it's
I
rigatoni.
Guarantee you Google search Rotoli, there's a Rotoli pasta.
Rotoli. What the hell is Rotoli pasta?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah,
Rotoli.
It's R-O-T-O.
It's Bertoli you're talking about. Bertoli no. pasta sauce.
It might have been Bertoli, but there is also a Rotoli. Hang on
Rotolo.
A second here.
Rotolo.
Yeah.
R-O-T-O-L-O. Rotolo.
Dude, he doesn't know what he's talking about anyway. It doesn't matter. What Google
okay, Cade Cunningham from Oak State. He's a legit guard. That's
my
a
guy,
garbage.
Cade. My guy, Cade Cunningham, if they win tonight, I will show up in a Cade Cunningham. I'll find a way to get a Cade Cunningham jersey. I will get an Oklahoma State Cowboys
And get
Cade
me
Cunningham.
A Bargnani with some Rotoli pasta, and I'll put it right on my
Shout
desk.
Out. Shout out. Primo pasta. That's what it was. And I think it was like the Dustin Johnson RBC commercial. I'm not sure he ever said a word. He just sat there and ate pasta.
The old, like, he stuffed his face and then looked in the camera and gave a smile and said, I'll be at Soto getting goon tonight.
I like Soto Soto.
Soto
Soto
is
my favorite
place
in Toronto.
Yeah, I saw him downtown more than any other Toronto athlete. That was my wheelhouse, though. That was in 06, 07, 08. But he, man, he could light up Yorkville, King West. Tony, Easy in the Fifth.
Was,
I don't even know if that is around anymore.
He was probably
that
at
was
Madison's all the time.
That terrific
spot.
What place is
it? One of the great Easy in the Fifth.
Jesus.
One of the all-time great haunts. Down the creepy alleyway where you're like, I might get mugged.
Yeah, shanked. You get shanked on the way out, for
or
sure.
Or I'm going to have the best night of my life tonight. It's one of the
A
other.
Lot of good men walk through the doors of Easy on the Fifth.
Yeah, it was a spectacular little spot. All right, where are we at here? confirm or deny, if Marc-Andre Fleury plays tonight, which we believe he will, and he struggles, he will not get another start in these playoffs.
That's fair. I'm gonna confirm that because
of course it's confirmed. They're running out of time. There's only a certain amount of games left. This is his last chance.
Yeah, but let's say he gets bombed tonight. Leonard wins 6 and 7. They go to a cup final. Leonard plays every game in the cup final.
I would assume so. That would be the rotation.
Well, no, you know what? That's actually a very good point because Leonard stubs his toe in the cup final. We see that DeBoer, he's got stones. He'll go, yep. I'm going back to the other guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and he legit feels that he's got a tandem there, and he does. If he plays a gut and goes with Fleury tonight, you know that Fleury's a guy with a lot of pride. So he's going to have a response game.
I hope
smart.
He does. Like I, regardless of what I have said on the show, I like Marc-Andre Fleury personally. How can he not root for the guy? But yeah. I'm worried about him tonight, personally. You know, I'm worried he stubs his toe. Like, how long is the leash for Fleury tonight? He gives up a bad one early. What happens? You know, like, I don't think he's going to have one bullet, but I don't think he's got more than 2 or 3. If they're down 2 or 3-0 at the end of the first, I could see Leonard bombing out to start the second period.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Not surprised. Because you do play a hunch and you say to Flower, like, you're going next game, you know, bring it home for us type of thing. But I don't think the leash is as long as it would have been a week ago. Put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, as the games get more and more important here, this is a pivotal, pivotal game.
Oh, like, it's the icebreaker, man. You're down to best 2 of 3.
Right.
And the guy on the other side, you give him one tonight. And then you give Price 2 cracks at it, man.
Yeah,
that would make me very nervous.
Well, I if I'm the Islanders and if I'm Montreal, I'm like, get it to Game 7, like, because we'll see what happens. Like,
yep.
That's all I would be thinking about is I'll take my chances in one game. That's what we need. You know,
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But I'll deny it because if they get to a cup final, Peter DeBoer has proven he can go back and forth.
Yeah.
Confirm or Deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. I think we can get to some Confirm or Deny after dark. We'll see.
Sure.
We got a little bit off the rails.
There's a Rotolo pasta, I was thinking.
Right. And Bertolli is a brand. Like Bertolli pasta.
It was one of the two.
Yeah, Bertolli's popular. Primo's pretty popular. They got to get back in the. Someone's got to be the face of, you know, Primo Pasta. You can't let Bargnani just be the only guy. You know, something's got to give there. So maybe we can be.
They can bring him back like the has-been guy, like the old, you know.
Yeah.
What would he look like? That would be funny if they cut from the old commercial
and
to like
looks
a
like
new
Andre
commercial.
The Giant. He's just Andre the Giant.
He's
right
just
now.
A moose sitting in the corner.
I love
it. It would be awesome.
Maybe Kate Cunningham can be the new face of Primo Pasta or Masai Ujiri. Maybe the two of them. This could be an all-time night. You win the lottery, Masai signs tomorrow, everything works out. It's just a spectacular offseason. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Hughes coming up. He's on his way to Tokyo to represent Canada at the Olympic Games himself, and Corey Connors will be representing Canada on the men's side. That's going to be awesome. And he's at the Travelers this week. He had a great weekend at the U.S. Open. We'll catch up with him. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, the PGA Tour continues, coming off an incredible U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. They fly across the country. They're at the Travelers this week down in Connecticut. Great field, really cool course. We got to make some picks. We got to do that tomorrow. And I think we'll be fighting over our next guest. Who's going to get him?
He's always my guy.
He's always your guy. You always take Mackenzie Hughes. I take Corey Connors. And Mackenzie Hughes just had an incredible weekend down at Torrey Pines. And as he gets set up for the Travelers this week, he's been nice enough to join us. And here he is back on Overdrive, Mackenzie Hughes. What's happening, Mackenzie?
Not too much, boys. What's the good word?
Well, we're feeling good about your game, man, and the whole scene. I mean, it was obviously not, you know, the Sunday you were necessarily looking for, but you've had a chance to sleep on this a couple of nights. How do you think you'll look back on the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I mean, my first, initial reaction is disappointment. I went to bed Saturday night, seeing myself hosting the trophy, and that was the way the day was going to go, and unfortunately didn't get that result. But as a whole, you know, it's a positive experience. you know, from everything, you know, I kind of came into the week with, you know, not my best form over the last month, and was able to put some nice golf together, and playing the final group of a major just gives you some incredible experience that, you know, I didn't really have before. So, again, I really wanted that one and felt like I was ready to do it. But, you know, I look back on it with, you know, tons of positives to take away. And the next time I'm there, I'll be better for it.
We talk about it a lot, McKenzie, learning experiences, whether it's actually a croc or, you know, with team sports or individual sports. Like, if you could fast forward to, let's say, the British and you're in the final group, what could you take away from the U.S. Open where you could stand on the first tee and say, okay, I remember that feeling or I remember that experience? Like, what exactly do you think is when athletes say that it's a learning experience, what do you think you learned?
Well, I think that, you know, in that setting, you don't get, trying to get a word, but you don't get, you don't get a mulligan, you don't get a second chance. So I think that, you know, a couple times in that final round, I wish I had just been a hair more committed to what I was trying to do. So like sometimes it's easy to get the mind going a little faster than it should. And I think that, you know, fast forward to the final round of the British, and if I have a chance to win there, I mean, that would be something I'd tell myself, is that I don't care what happens. I'm just going to be 100% committed to whatever I'm doing. And, you know, have no regrets in that regard, because it just takes one little, you know, small error and all of a sudden your ball is stuck in a tree and you're wondering what that happened. So,
can you take us through that? Like, what kind of gong show that was? I mean, I watched it over and it didn't find out till later. It hit the ground and then back up in the tree, which is the ultimate screw job.
Yeah, I'm the first to admit that I hit a bad shot. Kind of got in between there. I was trying to cut a 5-iron and double crossed it, and then I knew right away, you know, it was going left. And but, you know, in my head, I'm like, you know, even if it's 20 yards left of the green, I'm like, the pin's all the way back right. I mean, I'm like, I got a chance if it's somewhere on the grass over there. And you know, I'm walking down there and people are like, oh, it's in the tree. And I'm like, what do you mean it's in the tree? I mean, there's not even like a tree over there. I can't even picture a tree over there. So I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? And so I get up there and everyone's looking up in the tree. I'm like, you got to be effing kidding me. Yep. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking like, I've played golf my entire life and I've never had a ball stuck in a tree. So again, I knew what I had to do. I knew what the next steps were. I knew it was going to be you know, unplayable penalty shots and all that stuff. But I was pretty focused on what I had to do from that point on. But you're still kind of thinking to yourself, man, like, really, the back nine of the U.S. Open, I'm trying to win a major, and you get this kind of break. And it's tough to handle, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And hopefully next time I get the right bounce.
Well, I guess that's the benefit of the Open Championship, Royal St. George. I don't think they have a tree anywhere on the course, so you don't have to worry about that. But
that's right.
Yeah, that's just wild, man. And you and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, if there's a Canadian around there, are you waiting for a guy to climb the tree and grab that
like
ball?
Why, there was a dude with a T-shirt with a Canadian flag on it. Why didn't somebody throw a shoe up there or shake the tree? Like, if it comes down on the ground, does that mean it's just in play and that's where it lies?
Yeah, I mean, if it had come down and it wasn't obvious that it was, like, intentional, like, if someone threw their shoe up there when the ball was stuck, I'm sure that it wouldn't have just been, like, hey, play as lies. But, you know, if someone had, like, again, when it hit the ground and, like, it was bouncing back up towards the tree, if, like, someone had, you know, saw it and, like, blocked it or something like that, I mean, yeah, you would have just basically played it from where it was. So unfortunately it wasn't the Canadian Open, or else I would have had about 10,000 people jumping in front of that ball. So, bad break and, unfortunate timing
with, McKenzie Hughes. And we were relating your experience on the weekend to Mike Weir's experience at the 99 PGA Championship, where he was in the final pairing with Tiger, and he had a tough Sunday, but we know what happened to him 3.5 years later. You know, it was an inspiring moment. It was disappointing at the time, but it was inspiring for Mike, and before you knew it, he was a top 10 player in the world, winning a major championship, winning multiple tournaments. Could you see this being, you know, a leap forward for you? We know you're a grinder. You got a great game. You've been on the scene for quite some time, but this experience, could you picture yourself in the same kind of scenario that Mike Weir found himself in, disappointed in the moment, but inspired in the future?
Oh, 100%. Like I already crave to have that experience again. I loved being in that moment, despite not getting the result I wanted. And you know, I've already had a couple conversations with Mike about his experience in that situation and how he used that to be better going forward. And I just think that the experience I had there, and I know it's talked about a lot in sports when you kind of don't get what you want and you call it an experience, but I really believe that I gained, I would say, years of experience just by playing in that one round in the final group there. And just to know that my game, can put me in that spot, gives you a ton of belief as well. I'll always be able to draw back on that when I play major championships and say, if I take care of my business, my game's good enough to beat these guys. So yeah, tons to draw on. And, I hope to again, following a path similar to Mike's, and one day I do see myself hoisting one of those major trophies, and whether it's next month at the British or it's in 5 years or 6 years, I don't know when it'll be, but I'll keep working towards that goal.
You played a lot on tour. You won on tour. Can you just describe when you pegged it up on Saturday in the last group, like how different that was than any other round you played? Or did you kind of feel normal? Just what was it like putting the tee in the ground on Sunday before you tipped it?
Yeah, I think it felt fairly normal. It just felt a little bit heightened. Like if I teed off, this Sunday in the final round of the Travelers, in the lead, I'm going to have a lot of the same feelings, right? You just understand the situation is a little bit heightened only with that, you win a major. I mean, people are coming to you now. I mean, you're on a whole different level entirely. If you win a major, not to say winning a PGA Tour event isn't a huge deal, but, we only have four of those major championships per year, and they really define, the great players, careers. So, I really felt, I'm not going to say normal, but I felt like, the same feelings I would have if I was trying to win a tournament, just a little bit heightened to that normal experience. But and that just mainly comes from knowing what that major comes with.
We're chatting with Mackenzie Hughes. He's setting up for the Travelers this week down in Connecticut. And I guess on the horizon, you're setting up for the Olympic Games as well. It was made official today. Yourself and Corey Connors will go to Tokyo representing Canada on the men's side.
What about a caddy?
Yeah, if you guys need one, are you throwing our names in the hat?
About me and Hayes caddy for you guys at the Olympics?
I'm going to need to see a resume first, but we'll consider it.
Okay. I don't see it getting past.
Can you imagine me and Hazy coming back in the fall with gold medals as caddies?
I'd love it. Do the caddies get gold medals? That's the question. I'm not sure the caddies would. I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they do. I don't think so. So that'd be a tough one for you there, O-Dog. I mean, you put all that.
Dude,
all
we'll make one.
You wouldn't get one? That'd be tough.
Just get us in the Olympic Village.
That's it.
That's what we missed the tee time anyway. We wouldn't make it, but we'd be there. We'd be in Tokyo somewhere, which is all that matters. And, I mean, it's going to be such a cool experience. It's going to be a different world over there, clearly, the Olympic Games and with COVID and all that kind of stuff. But yourself and Corey happily accepting that invitation. What do you expect that experience to be like? What are you hoping for outside of competing well, but the whole Olympic experience, what are you most looking forward to?
You know, that's a tough question because it's going to be an Olympics unlike any other. And, you know, I've never been to one to begin with, but from hearing from past experiences and guys I know, you know, I think the coolest part of the Olympic Games is the village and experiencing and watching the other events, which both are not happening. Like, so the golf course is so far away from the village that, you know, Corey and myself, and I'm sure a number of the other golfers are staying at a hotel outside of the village that's much closer to the golf course. So, there's just nothing for us to do in the village, and we can't really do a whole lot. So I'd say my answer to your question would have been, I've been looking forward to watching the other events and being part of the Olympic Village, but that's not going to happen this year. So I guess my number one thing I'm looking forward to is standing on a podium and putting a medal around my neck.
Well, we certainly hope that that is the case. You know, all of Canada will be behind you, and the O-Dog and I can be there if need be. We'll start quarantine. We'll fly there today. We can do the show from Tokyo, no problem.
Yeah, we will.
We can make that work. But good luck down at the Travelers. I mean, this is a quick turnaround coast to coast. And we were wondering about this earlier, Mackenzie, because it's a great field coming off the Open. Like, what is it about the Travelers that leads to so many guys on tour, you know, willing to pack up post-U.S. Open, fly across the country, and be a part of this grouping and a part of this tournament this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, they just they do such a good job of just they treat the players so well. I mean, there's a charter. They sent a charter for San Diego down to Hartford. So, you know, a bunch of the guys took advantage of that. You had up to, I think, you know, two or three seats for guests. So, like, families came on the charter. And they just do a great job of making us feel welcome. And golf course is fun to play. It's a nice area. So there's just a million things they do. They do a great job with everything. There's not really a weakness of the events that I can think of. So guys just love coming here. Pre-COVID, it was one of like the most family-friendly events on tour, just as far as like activities and things to do. And it'll return to that, I'm sure, by next year. But yeah, just a cool event. I've always loved coming here, love playing the course. So that's enough for me, and all the extra stuff is just a bonus on top of that.
Where did you get the yardage book, the Leaf yardage book? I'm an alumni. I don't even have one of those. Is that specially made for you, or where did you get that thing?
So, Jeff, you probably know – do you know Jeff DeLine, who
I played golf with him last week.
Yeah, we know Jeff. We're familiar with DeLine.
So DeLine gave me that. He had it made like probably 3 years ago for me. Knew I was a big Leafs guy, and he just wanted to make a book for me. He's like, hey. And so he got this company to make a yardage book for me, and I've rocked it ever since. And it's not hard. I mean, and I think it only costs like maybe $150 or $200, but like it's a nice leather, customized. You can make it how you want. Like mine says Mac on it.
You said the really, two words, really... Jeff DeLine, and that's all I'm going to look into to get one.
Well, he'll be sending you a Mets one now, watch yourself. Yeah. It won't be the Leafs anymore.
He's down in New York now, so I don't know if you might have to twist his arm to get the Leafs one. But, yeah, they're really cool, and I know Corey had rocked one for a while too. So, the boys are well represented out here.
Love it. Well, yeah, it's got a lot of play on NBC, and you know, Leaf fans are all about that. Leaf fans are looking for some positivity, so if you can bring home a couple wins or be in contention, that is certainly a positive scene.
What are your thoughts on the playoffs, Mac? Like, what did you think of watching that?
Well, obviously, I was disappointed. I was really tired of looking at my Twitter yesterday and being like, everyone was like, oh, you know, he's a Leafs fan. It's kind of explained his late round collapse yesterday because he's a Leafs fan. I was like, gosh, darn it. I mean, it's just the guys are so talented that this shouldn't happen the way it does. And you know, I think it's the last five seasons, first round exits. They're too good for that. It's frustrating to watch, and I'm sure it's way more frustrating for them. So I know that they're not happy with it, and I just hope that you know, kind of the right pieces are put in place. I think they need some toughness, and they need some skill on D, that number one D man that just, you know, shuts it down back home, and just, you know, protects that blue line. And I just don't think we have all the pieces put together. But I mean, you can't argue with the talent up front. It's just, you know, what we have is not getting it done. So something's you know, we gotta add some pieces or change something up, because it's not working right now.
Yep. You're talking Seth Jones is what you're talking about.
I like
about,
it. We're
going
to put you down. TSN, that's going to go viral. Yep. Mackenzie Hughes wants Seth Jones in Toronto. So I like
hey,
it.
If you're back in Ontario this summer, what about a round with me and Hazy? Let's set it up. Let's set it up.
Let's
18
do it.
Holes.
Let's do it. Now, the border is about to open up, so I might be heading back hopefully sometime in August. So let's set it up.
Let's make it happen. We play the Whites up here, so be ready for that. And
I love the
way. We'll play, say something like that to a tour.
All right, we'll play the
such
tips.
A loser.
We'll play the tips, and I'll slash it around. That's what he wants, is to be playing with me right. From the tips. But we'll figure it out. Good luck this week and moving forward. Congrats on the Olympic nod as well. And we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Mackenzie.
Thanks, boys. Enjoyed it. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. There's Mackenzie Hughes. Good Canadian boy, big Leaf fan.
I love how you guys are like, you're already like hitting him up for stuff. Where'd you get that book? Oh, let's get a free round. Like,
oh, yeah.
Guy just wants to come on the show and
imagine
talk.
Imagine we showed up in Tokyo with the caddy bibs on and we're like ready to go, boys. And they're just like, no, what?
Yeah, no, you're
like,
not allowed
get the hell
here.
Out of here.
How'd you get here? Imagine they could totally prank us and give us the thumbs up. We get to Pearson and the bird's gone. Give us the wrong time. Just, you're not allowed.
Hey,
not
there's
happening.
Plenty of things to do in Japan. I lived there for 5 months. It is a great, great country.
It's just not going to feel the same. I think we're all waiting for that, aren't we? I mean, COVID and like he just said, it's not the same thing. The Olympic Village won't even be the same. But anyway, shout out to Mackenzie Hughes. We appreciate him coming on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, game five tonight, Habs Vegas, back in Vegas, and the playoff faceoff is presented by Lay's All Dressed. And tonight, I think it's about the officiating. How do both teams stack up with the refs tonight? You know, if it goes one way or the other, if they bury the whistle or if they're calling a bunch of ticky-tack calls early in the game, which I kind of expect.
Right.
How do the teams react to that?
I don't mind the ticky-tack right off the bat. Say, stop screwing around, you two in the box, or take one guy, then they really understand the message. And then it's like, okay, we're playing hockey, we're not pissing around tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they establish it early on. But honestly, that's the case. If they just have to set the parameters. That's it. And the guys will fall into line. But they have to do it early on to establish a presence.
I think if you're Montreal, you're okay with calls being made. Like Vegas, their power play is so bad. And
it's been a struggle, yeah.
It's been brutal, and Montreal's really capitalized off that, whether it's shorthanded or right when a guy gets out of the box. I mean, it seems to be a momentum swing. So I think if you're Montreal, you're fine with that. Call penalties tonight. It's all good. That was the Lay's playoff faceoff. Lay's is facing off against Ruffles All Dressed Doritos Sweet Chili Heat and Smart Food White Cheddar with their three new potato chip flavors available for a limited time. So we'll see. We'll see what they have in store tonight. Four close games so far for the most part. Game one got away from the Habs a bit. I guess game two got away from Vegas, but I think it'll be a close one tonight. I'm looking forward to it. And George Springer back in the lineup tonight playing center field. So we'll see what he has in store. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
Hazy Be Pavin, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.